Please be seated. Come, Holy Ghost, come. Come like a fire that burns. Come like a wind that blows. Prepare our hearts and our minds as we await the coming of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. A happy and blessed Advent to you, as well as Happy New Year. The season of Advent, it is a time of expectation and preparation for the celebration of Jesus' birth. And it's a nice contrast to the hustle and bustle of the secular world, preparing for its, mostly secular Christmas. Advent calls us to stop and think and meditate and listen and to pray. It's a bit of an alien idea to the world around us, whose commercialized festivities seem to be encroaching earlier and earlier. You walk into Wally's World and in the 1st of September, and my goodness, don't be surprised to see Christmas stuff out already. What's happened to Thanksgiving? We see it more and more. And so Advent allows us that time to put all of that aside and to concentrate on what's really important. Even the word Advent is one of those church words that you don't hear too often outside of the sanctuary. It simply means coming. But if you told someone who's observing the season of coming, it might lead to a few questions. And so maybe it's good to remind ourselves too this morning of some Advent questions and answers. Who's coming? Well, maybe that's the first and most obvious question, but then again, maybe not. Of course, Jesus is coming. But do we really believe it? Do we even believe it? My brothers and sisters, think of how differently our lives would be if we seriously took Jesus' word about his return. What would it look like if we really did stay awake? As he tells us in our gospel reading this morning. This is Jesus who is coming, not some little fat man in a red suit. He's the Lord of all creation, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. He is the good shepherd, the true vine, the light of the world. He is the one who once came in lowly fashion, was swaddled up and laid in a manger. But he's coming again in glory to judge both the living and the dead. He's the judge, you see, and the conqueror who will put all enemies under his feet. He is master and commander of all the angels. He is Yahweh Sabbath, Lord of hosts. And when such an important person is coming, another question becomes very important. Why is he coming? Well, anytime finite and sinful man encounters infinite and holy God, you get a reaction. The prophet Isaiah cried out, "Woe is me, I am ruined." Peter exclaimed, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Sinners cannot bear his holiness any more than his holiness will tolerate sin. And so his coming presents a problem for sinners. If this Jesus really is the judge coming to proclaim a final judgment, must I not be judged for all my sins? Who can stand in the judgment? If he really is God of gods and knows all things, then doesn't he know my sins? Doesn't he know your sins? It's like the demons who shrieked when Jesus confronted them. Our sinful nature might also cry out, "Why have you come here, Jesus? Have you come here to destroy me?" But friends, that's not the answer. At least for us, it's not the answer. As Christians, we have the blessed assurance of the gospel. And that makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the why of his advent. Why has he come? He's come to save us. And why is he coming again? To save us. He came once to procure salvation, to live a perfect life in our place, to defeat all of the temptations of the evil one, a second Adam, who succeeded where the first Adam failed. He kept God's holy law, which we know as much as we try, we cannot. He perfectly submitted to his Father's will in place of us, who oftentimes only rebel against it. He did all things well, and all these things he did well, he did for you, and he did for me. For all of us. And he came to die. To suffer and die, cursed on a cross, becoming sin for the sake of all sinners. He came, the very Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. He came to shed his holy, precious blood, his life for ours. As a very young child, I never understood, why did people put a cross out at Christmas time? It's about the birth of Jesus. It's about the baby in the manger. And it wasn't until I matured and spent time in the scripture and truly accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior that I realized there can be no Christmas without the cross. They are hand in hand. And how blessed and lucky we are. You see, he came to destroy death by his death, to take the curse by being cursed, and to secure us the victory through his most bitter humiliation, being nailed naked to the cross. That's why he came. That's why Christmas matters. Because of the cross. Thirdly, when is he coming? Surely the Old Testament believers, they waited with eager anticipation, in fact, for the Messiah to come. And the air was thick with the hope when Jesus came on the scene, even if they got the why question wrong. But his second advent is also to be eagerly anticipated. His disciples wanted to know when all things would happen. And so do many of us today. I had the blessing to serve as chaplain at Myrtle Beach Manor. And one of the aides said to me one time, "Oh, Pastor Dan, do you think the end times are coming?" And I said, "Darling," I said, "one person knows only. Even the Son doesn't know. The Father knows." I said, "But what we need to worry about We need to get ourselves right with the Lord. Let's concentrate on that. Don't worry about when the second coming's coming. We need to be ready for it. We need to prepare ourselves for it. That's what we need to do. You see, when Jesus ascended back to his Father in heaven, the disciples were pretty certain that he was going to come back pretty quick. They were pretty certain that he was going to come back pretty soon. And of course, we know what the second coming will entail. So, don't worry about it. Let's get ourselves right with the Lord. Make sure that we are indeed ready for when he comes. He is coming, and we don't know when. He's coming like a thief suddenly, at just the right time, in his time, not ours. But we know this, and we also know that it will be good. It will be good for us as people. Lift up your heads, your redemption draws near. Wait with bated breath. Wait on the edge of your seat, for it will be like Christmas. Wait for his coming with all the joy of every child who ever hoped for presents under the tree. Wait for his coming with faith and trust and hope that he has won your salvation. That he has won your salvation and will deliver it to each of us in person. Wait for his second advent, even as we celebrate his first, and rejoice in the surpassing richness of his grace. But know this, he also comes today. He comes to strengthen and awaken us for that day. He comes to his people, wrapped not in swaddling clothes, but by his Spirit in words of law and gospel. He comes even today, not across the Jordan, but in the waters of holy baptism. He comes even today, here to each of us under the forms of bread and wine, which he promises are his true body and blood for you and for me. When is his advent? Bethlehem long ago? Yes. In glory someday to come? Yes. But also here now, today, the day of salvation. My brothers and sisters in Christ, he comes to all who hear his word and receive his gifts in Florence, in Illinois, and across the world. God grants a continual advent of Christ to sinners that are in need of saving, that we may all come with him to glory on that very day when he returns. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.